Hallelujah. Let me start off by sharing this with you. Glory to God. About 5 o'clock this afternoon, after spending all day with the Lord and just listening to Him, finding out what He wants to say, He said, I want you to get a piece of paper and I want you to write this down. So, being the obedient one, I went and got a piece of paper and wrote this down. I'm going to read this to you. This is, to the best of my ability, this is what He's saying to me. Okay? Some of my children are struggling desperately because they believe their deliverance is based on their own actions, when actually their deliverance from their present circumstances is available to them anytime they want it. All they need to do is just give up. Give up trying to fix it. Give up trying to solve it. Give up and give in to me. All of it without reservations. Every single detail of your life. Didn't we just sing about this? But you say, what if I don't like the solution? That's your whole problem. You really don't know what you truly want. You know what you think you want, but who actually knows the end from the beginning? Who set the stars in their orbit? And who loves you despite all of your own efforts to solve your own problems? I love you. Beyond words. I love you, and my plan for you is what will bring you the greatest fulfillment you could ever know on this earth. Trust me, please. In the end, we both will be overjoyed because you went against your own wants and desires, and you allowed, now listen to this, my desires to become your desires. And that's what it's all about. Letting His desires become your desires. Apparently, this is something that we're dealing with right now. I wrote a note here at the top of my Bible. You're praying in tongues. He's leading you into His path. He's leading you exactly where He wants you to go. I have a feeling right now that if we could poll everybody that's associated with this message, this church, if we could poll everybody and find out, we'd find out that there's some people that have stirred up a real hornet's nest right now. A real hornet's nest. And it's because you're doing the right things to stir it up. You find yourself in situations because of what you've done spiritually to stir up the things. So it's not that you're in a bad place. The problem is, in the place where you find yourself after stirring up the nest, you can't stay there. You got to keep moving. And that's the worst time for you to start questioning what you're doing. Questioning, is this really right? Is what I'm doing really right? The message that I preached on Sunday and then the one Gary preached right after it, I mean, it was, you talk about two messages just fit so perfectly together. Just really enjoyed that. The one that I preached, I entitled Eating from the Tree of Life. I'm going to start off a little bit talking about some of that, but go on a little bit more, especially after the word that He gave us. God is trying to get me to understand something so that I can better teach it to you. And what He's using for me has been Adam in the garden. Some of the most fundamental, basic things that we've grown up knowing since we were kids. This is one of the things he asked me today. Adam in the garden. Now I want you to think about him standing there. Eve has already committed the sin, has turned to Adam. He's in that process of deciding if whether or not he's going to partake of this fruit. And this is the question that the Lord shared with me. Do you think in Adam's mind at that moment that he was thinking as he had his hand on that fruit, God, now listen, I'm doing this for you? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Everything about what he was doing was for himself, not for God. He made those decisions, that decision right there, to part ways with God. Think about what he did. Here he is. Here's God, created everything. Beautiful planet, full of all kind of things that Adam could eat. Had no want for anything. Put Adam in the garden. Created Eve. Put Eve in the garden with Adam. Here they are with everything and all. And then God turned to the creation and he said, here, have dominion over all of this. And on top of that, gave him a choice. Oh, give him a choice? Are you kidding me? No, don't give him a choice. Look at what he's going to do. And the next thing you know, he chooses. But what does he choose? It's the highest form of treason. He chooses against God and chooses for self. Promotes self. So the way back to the garden for mankind, you think about in the garden they had the tree of life that they could partake of. The instant that sin came, there was an angel, angels posted there, that with swords going in every direction, keeping them from going to the tree of life. Next thing you see, Jesus on this cross, made of wood, made of a tree, producing the fruit of life. I want you to think about this. When you come to this tree of life, since the way out of the garden for Adam was through a selfish, prideful act, the way back in has to be completely the opposite. Wouldn't you agree? If the way out was a selfish, prideful act where it's about me, it's all about me, I choose me, I self-exalt myself to the throne of King of everything. If I'm going back to the garden, then it has to be a complete reversal. Exactly what the song was saying tonight. I give you all of me. I lay down my life for you. I give it to you, Lord. I could start singing this song and you would immediately know where my roots are. Do you remember that day years ago? You were sitting in the church and all of a sudden, pardon my singing, but you'll understand. Just as I am. And all of a sudden, you knew what it was time for, didn't you? That pull was being made right then. Come up and get saved. I remember I sat through those songs week after week. People come forward. Come in. Oh, some of them had tears rolling down their face. Oh, man. They were ready to give their life up. come down, kneel at the altar and pray. You know, it's not an emotional experience that we're after. When you come down to an experience like that, and you really feel in your heart at that moment that you have just given everything to the Lord. What he's showing me is you really can only give to him to the level of your transformation. That's how much of yourself you really give to him. You think on that day when you came down and you got saved, I gave you all of me. I gave everything. Well, I think back myself to that day in 1989 when I finally, after years of being drugged to church and rebelling, finally gave myself to the Lord. And I can tell you something. The mark that's standing here today, compared to that person, this mark is much more surrendered to Jesus than that mark was. That mark was just happy he wasn't going to hell. All right? But there has been a lot of transformation from that day till this day. And gradually, as more transformation happens, more of my life is getting turned over to him, little bit by little bit. See, that's what I think is happening. People in this body are hitting a rub, and that rub is wanting to turn their life over, but really seeing what that is, and they're like, I'm not real sure about that. And they're doing the message, they're praying in tongues as much as they can at the place that they are. And I remember times that my level of praying in tongues was, it wasn't real big because I couldn't handle any more of it, and I was seeing too much of ugly Mark, and I didn't like it. So I did as much as I could handle, and then I'd stop and say, okay, that's enough for today. That's enough. 15 minutes is it. No more. And I'd come back and do a little bit more, and gradually, the transformation was happening. And gradually, I was walking down this path that God had planned for me. He's got such a wonderful way of doing it, praying tongues. You don't know what you're praying. Have no idea what kind of war you're stirring up. Just go ahead, do it. And we stand up here and we say, pray in tongues. And you're like, yeah, I'm doing it, but I don't like it. I don't like this war it's stirring up. But the point that I want to make, and I want to make it several times tonight so that you get it. The only place of true fulfillment you'll ever have in your life is walking down this one path. That's it. That is it. And the struggle that you experience as you lay down more and more of your life to walk down this one path, realize this, it's taking you to the only true place of fulfillment that you can ever have in this world. There's only one, and it's on this path. And you say, but it's so hard to walk it. I'd rather do what everybody else does. Well, everybody else, when they get to heaven, if they get there, they're going to look around, they're going to say, I should have done more. I don't want to fit in that group. That's the one time when you finally get into heaven that you're not going to want to be a member of that group. You hear what I'm saying? Here on earth, it looks inviting. Here on earth, when they can do whatever they want to do, they can go to church occasionally, they can go out and have fun, and they can do what... It looks like they have total control of their life because they do. Because they do. They did make that walk. They did hear the song, Just As I Am. They came up and they gave their life to Jesus. But I want to show you what happened. I need God to come here for a minute. My wife's going to play God tonight. Oh. For those of you listening, in my hand is a white box. This white box is going to represent my life. One day, as I said, I gave my life to the Lord. I said, "Here," and I bowed my knee, and everything that was in me that day, I gave it to the Lord. Now, for those of you that can't see, I'm giving the white box representing my life to God, but there's a string attached. Okay? So, really, I haven't totally given everything to the Lord because I got a little string attached. To the best of my ability, I have, and in my heart and in my mind, I feel like I've given all to Him. I do. I think people feel this way all the time. They came up, they had an emotional experience, they cried real crocodile tears. They were truly repentant. It was an emotional experience for them. They know they walked out of that church and they got, some people don't cry at all. Some people do. And they walk out and they say, "I feel different. I know I'm different. And I gave everything to God today." And they go home, and the devil's waiting for him. And it's like, right off the bat, his whole objective is to show you how much you didn't give to God. He's going to show you how much you still have of your own life. I faced it immediately. Within a week, it was like, okay, let me rethink what I just did here. Okay, I gave him everything, and now my life is a shambles. Because I had everything planned out. I had the job I always wanted. I just got it, and I was so happy. I was making great money, and they just wanted me to party all the time, but that's okay. I liked that until I got saved. Then it was a problem. Now what do I do? I've already committed to this, and here I am. For those of you listening, I'm grabbing onto the string here, to the rope. Because now I've got some reservations. I really want God to have my life. I want it, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, I am not talking about walking away from your salvation. Now, you can't get to that place. But what I'm talking about is walking in victory while you're on this earth. That's what I'm talking about. Whether you walk in victory or whether you walk according to the dictates of your own mind, whatever you can figure out. And whenever something hits you that you can't figure out and you end up going the way that the world goes, maybe you die early. I don't know. Maybe you end up in poverty. Maybe you end up in a place that you wish you weren't. But it all boils down to this right here. How much have you been able to turn over? Now you'll have these little conversations, especially for those of you, most of you here on Wednesday night, probably you remember these times. I'm talking to people mostly that are on the internet that are listening, who are coming upon these times. Where you're going to have little conversations with God. Where you're trying to work out the problems of your life in your mind. Now, some of you may still be trying to do that. You know what I'm talking about? The torment. It's because you still have hold of the rope. And your mind is in torment now as a result. And here you are. Praying in tongues as much as you can. And as soon as you stop, your mind is flooded, literally flooded with all kind of tormenting thoughts about what you're going to do to get you out of the problem that you're in. And you're sitting there having the negotiation with the Lord. Okay, Lord, can we talk about this? I've got this situation, and I need some money, okay? We never have these talks. I need some money, Lord, and I've got an idea, okay? And I know you want me to go in this direction right here, but I tell you what, just for a little while, let me just veer off a little bit. Go, let me do this. It'll work out. What do you think about that?
I have a good plan for you.
Okay, well, I've got a better plan. Isn't that what we're saying? Reality? Isn't that what we're saying? Isn't that what Adam said? I've got a better plan. What am I doing? I'm doing what Adam did. I'm exalting myself above him, above the plan of God, really above God. I am taking back. Let me have this. I want back the leadership of my life. And guess what? He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. And some of you have found that out the hard way. I did. I found it out the hard way once. We got back from being in Costa Rica. I didn't know what to do. Things were not what I expected. We were living in Florida. I was going to the back bedroom praying every day. That's all I needed to do. I hadn't heard anything else. Fasted. And the fasting. Have you ever been here when the fasting stirs up such a turmoil? And it's like, oh my gosh, I can't fast. The war is too great right now. Because I'm already dealing with emotional issues as it is. And here I'm going to fast and cause another war? I don't think so. And what did I end up doing? Finally, I said, God, can I get a job? This is my, here. Can I get a job, God? And you know what he said? He said, you can go get a job. But it was like this. I kind of felt this way. It's like, it was really more my idea than his, but he said yes. Because what's he going to do? And then once I got the job, guess what I did? When they said, well, Mark, you are sharp. You got it going on. We want to promote you. Oh, what does that mean? Well, we're going to give you a little bit more money and you're going to work your brains out. We're going to take all of your time. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, it was unbelievable. You talk about ungodly, 80, 90 hours a week working. I'm not kidding. It was that bad. And I went from my prayer closet to that. Because why? Because I held the string and said, Lord, I need to do this. And he said, fine, go ahead. Go ahead. Now, I know y'all have never done this before. Had negotiations with God. The thing is, God will say yes. He'll just let you do what you want to do. He's not going to stop you. He didn't stop Adam. And we sit here and we it gets to the point sometimes you feel like you're begging God. God, please. And here's another prayer. Please, show me what do you want me to do. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Show me, please.
Don't be afraid. I am with you.
I really could have held, it would have helped if she'd have said something different right then. Can you give me, what is it that you want me to do? Just tell me. And here, go ahead.
Let my spirit pray through you.
And here it is. Here, and especially in this church, especially in this body, where we know how to stir things up. And we are getting things stirred up. People are getting things stirred up. They're getting right in the middle of this storm. They're walking right into it. And God is wanting us to continue to do what it is that got us into here. Just to get through it. To get to the other side. To see the victory. And yet we get so far And we're holding on still to this little bit of, well, I can still do this to get out of this. This is my lifeline. I go this far. There's still some hope. I can still save myself. You see, here's where he wants you to get, where there's no rope. He wants you to get out here so far. There's no way you can save yourself. There's no way. You're so far away from grabbing that rope anymore. You've turned loose. But see, here's what I've learned. It's gradual. You see, when I heard that song, "Just As I Am," and I came forward and I gave my heart to the Lord, I wasn't ready. I didn't have the transformation. There wasn't the faith there at that moment to completely lay everything out, say, "There, God." I thought I did, but I wasn't at the place. But as I continue to grow and change gradually, I'm stepping further and further along this path and more away from holding on to that rope. I'm at the place, there's no right arm in the flesh that's going to help us at this point. It's just not going to happen. You know, if God fails us, which I know that is not going to happen. It's just not. But let's say he did. There's no chance. Debbie and I have gone too far. We've just gone too far. And I know he's not failing us. That's how I can know to go farther. I trust him. I trust him. Anything else? Okay. Thank you. Give her a hand. Didn't God do a good job? I'm in the chair. So open up your Bibles. We want to study this a little bit tonight. We're going to go to Philippians first. I want to show you the end. In that way, we can track how to get to that end result. Okay? Gary mentioned this in his message. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Keep in mind, Paul's writing a letter. He's writing a letter here. He didn't start the letter in chapter 4 and verse 6. There's other chapters. There's other things that he said leading up to this point. So what he said leading up to this point is going to help us to understand how it is that we can have what chapter 4 and verse 6 says is available. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Let me read out of the Amplified Bible. I don't read much out of the Amplified because there's some doctrine that they kind of intermingle, and so I try to stay away from it. But let me just read verse 6. "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God." There are some of you within the sound of my voice, I don't know if you're here or if you're listening by the internet, if you had just a thimbleful of the peace that Paul is talking about here, your life would be completely different right now. Completely different. This peace. How do I get to this place of having this peace? Because right now I am in a mental war. And the turmoil in my mind is unbearable. I'm praying as much as I can pray. I'm walking the path that's laid out before me the best that I can. And here I am in this turmoil. My mind is telling me, do this, do that, do this. I have all these problems. I don't have any money. I have these issues. I'm trying to do everything I know to do to solve them. Now, let me interject this right here. I am in no way saying that you are supposed to not be a responsible person. Responsible for your bills. Responsible for the things that the expenses that you incur on a daily basis. I am in no way saying, just hold up somewhere and pray and God will take care of the rest of it. No. Don't ever think that I'm saying that. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to follow this path as you're praying. There are times, and I've had them myself, where I've come to spots in the road where honestly, I had no idea what to do. I was, and I got to that point by following him. I followed him and I came to a place, and the silence at that moment was deafening. Has anybody ever been there? You have done the very best that you could to follow God, and you have found yourself in a place where the silence is deafening. And you have responsibilities. I've been there. I've had them. I know from whence I'm speaking. And I know that God does not want us not to be responsible people. I do not believe that. When there were times when we came back from Ukraine in 1995, we came back. We had been gone for 6 months. I was a teacher. I taught every day at a Bible college. Came back thinking in my mind, this is full-time ministry for me. Came back, guess what? I spent my time praying, came to a place where I had to make a decision. What am I going to do? I have responsibilities. Guess what I did? Well, at that point, someone actually walked up to me and they said, I can put you to work. They didn't really know, I don't think, if I remember correctly, that I was in need of work. Put me to work doing construction work. I did that until the snow came. And then, guess what I did? Waited tables. Here I had a college degree. Here I was with all kind of professional sales experience. And what did I do? Waited tables at the Cracker Barrel. And guess what? God met our need. Why was it like that? That was where I was at in my level of transformation. You are where you are. You can't fake it. If you don't hear anything else that I say tonight, hear that. You can't fake it. You are where you are. And that's where I was. I wasn't in the place that God was able. Was he like to? Yeah. He would have loved to have been able to send me out to the world to preach full time. Was I at a place in my level of mortification and transformation that I was at? Oh my gosh, when I look back now, there was years of transformation that still needed to be done. I was in no way ready. So when I look back and I see that, I thank God that I took that job. I thank God for it. And you know what else he did through that? You know that we lived in Florida. That was when we were in Indiana. He used that job to give me an income when he moved us to Florida. Look at how he connected things together. I had a job waiting for me in West Palm Beach. All I had to do was move and go down there. But here I was. Hindsight is 20/20. When you're in the middle of it and you're and everything inside of you is like, I'm supposed to minister. I've gone to Bible college. I've done this. I've done that. I've ministered. The last year of my life, I spent living in Ukraine, not a full year, but most of the year. And here I am now back in the States, and I should be ministering. Bless God, make that happen for me. It doesn't work that way. There was transformation. There was time. And for me to continue to rack my brain trying to figure out how to make ministry happen. And guess what? I did for years. Trying to make my plan become God's plan. God, can we negotiate this? Here, let me grab that rope again, Lord. Can we have it this way? I want it this way. And God's sitting there, Mark, I'm using you as much as I can. There would be times that it would be more than others, and then it would stop, and I would have to go back and do something else. At the level of mortification and transformation, he used me to the fullest at that place until there was more. Until there was more, and then he could use me more. As the faith level grew inside of me, and I could trust him more, and I could turn more of my life over to him and know that he would be there to take care of us. How are we doing? The last year of our life, it's been just that, Debbie and me. We've turned over this much of our life to him. We said, we trust you. We know that you'll take care of us. We know that you'll speak to people and they will give. And they have. And we just continue to walk and believe him. Are there times that my mind tries to run off with itself? Fewer than there was before, I'll guarantee you that. There are times that I try not to get in that arena anymore. It is not productive. There's nothing in that mental area of you trying to work your problems out that's going to produce anything but you being anxious and upset. So my advice to you is this. When you tend to want to go that direction, you need to just sit down and worship the Lord, because that has been one of the best things that I've ever done. I worship the Lord. I thank him. I thank him for taking care of us. I thank him for the abundance in our life. I thank you for the path that he's laid out in front of us. As I continue to pray in tongues and I continue to walk the path out, it becomes so much clearer. It's so much easier this way. When I was trying to figure it out, my life was frustrating. I always felt like I was missing God. Anybody ever felt that way? You feel like you're missing God. Just keep praying in tongues. Just keep praying. Yes, it's going to stir up a hornet's nest at times. Kick in a little bit, just a little bit of fasting. Just a little bit. It'll help your emotions to get you past those times. And worship, just worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're directing our life every day. I know that you have a good plan for me and my wife. I know that you do, and I trust you. This is how you get to the place that he wants you to be. This is how you walk in it. This is how you stop feeling like you're chasing your tail around. All right, I want you to go back now in Philippians. See, and I told you earlier, he said this in all in verse or chapter 4. But look at how he starts that verse, verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren. So what he said up to this point, he's leading up to this. Once you've done everything leading up to it, now you can walk in this peace. People want the peace, but they forget they have to do what was in chapters 1, 2, and 3 leading up to 4 so they can walk in this peace. Now, without going through the whole book of Philippians, which is a very good book, let's focus on let me just pick out one verse in chapter 1. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's a good work happening inside of you. Now, understand this. The man that wrote those words is the man that also wrote that he prays in tongues more than you all in this first letter to the Corinthians. This is a man that prays in tongues. And he's saying right here, be confident in this, that he who has begun a good work in you, as you continue to do what I've taught you to do, you're going to have the good result that I'm having in my life. Now you look at his life and you say, well, what kind of good result? Man, you got beat up, thrown in prison, all this horrible stuff. You'll find out as you read Philippians, he talks about it in what he says. And he says in the first chapter, the things that happened to me, they've turned out to good. There's people that have been blessed as a result of the experiences that I've had. Let's read that verse. Since he brought it up, we'll need to read it. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Verse 12, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out. And that the fallen out is stressing the end result. Rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel. The reason they happened to me, it was trying to stop me. But guess what? The best part of it was the end result, because the furtherance of the gospel. You see, he wants you to be so changed that he can put you in any kind of circumstance, no matter what it is. And you're not going to cave. You're not going to start grabbing for the white rope to the box of your life. You're not going to grab for something to get me out of this mess, but you're going to walk through it knowing that he's going to take care of you. And the end result's going to be the gospel is going to be preached through your life, and other people are going to be blessed by it. Are you blessed by Paul's life? I am. Don't you know that no matter what circumstance you're faced with, just by watching what happened to him, God is more than able to take you through it. Just look at what happened to him. And know, if Paul can believe God and walk through those things, I can do that too. Shipwrecks, forget about it. I'll just walk right through it. Stonings, I'll let Gary do that one first. But the point is this, that he wants us to be able and willing to go wherever he sends us, that we're not going to go there with all kind of reservations, with all kind of plans to try to get out of it some way or another, but that we've been so transformed and we have surrendered so much of our life to him that he says, okay, they trust me. And you continue to walk into that place. Let's go on. Are you getting anything out of this? I hope so. We're going to look at chapter 2. If there be, verse 1, therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be, now look at this, like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing, now he's saying, let's be in one accord here. Let's have the same ideas, the same mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. And that word servant we know is bond slave. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm going to stop there for a minute. This idea of being a bond slave, of turning your life over, Paul understood this. He understood what it meant to totally relinquish everything into God's hands and know that God was going to take care of him. I don't know how a person can experience some of the things that he experienced and not come to that place. I don't believe it's possible, because I don't believe God would use you. I don't believe God would put you out there to sacrifice you like that. Becoming a bond slave, turning everything over to him. I want to get to that place. I want to do whatever I can to reach that point where there is no holding back. I don't know about you, but you know, on a day in and day out basis, we walk around. We're in public places. You see things. You hear things. How many of you? You don't have to raise your hand. God speaks to you. Go up and pray for so and so. Pray for that person right there. See that person? You see that leg's missing? I want you to go pray for him. See that person that they, you know, that obviously they have some kind of impairment. Obviously, there's something wrong. Or maybe it's just go witness to somebody. Don't raise your hand, because there's no condemnation. We all deal with it. He's trying to get us, little by little, to make those steps out, to share that love that we have inside of us with others. We see, at times, we see what Paul went through and we think, I could do that. And yet we're in the grocery store and he says, go do this, just pray for this person. I can't do that, God. Oh, so you think you can handle being drowned in a boat? You see, it's just their mind. Just the way our mind works. We think something about us, but when we're really in that situation, it's just because of where we are. But what I want you to understand is you don't have to stay in that place. You don't have to stay there. You can go further. And it's all up to you. And you don't have to. You can stay exactly as you are and go to heaven and be happy. Hallelujah. But I don't think you want to go there empty-handed. I think you want to go there with all kind of people following you because of your obedience. Amen. You're about at the point of saturation, so I don't want to say very much else. But let me just say this one verse to you in the chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That verse 13 in chapter 2, it's God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How is he doing that? He's doing it only because of what you're doing to allow him, because of your praying in tongues, because of your meditating the word, you're enabling him to do this work on the inside of you. In closing, I just want to encourage you. You may be in the middle of something that looks very bad. The very thing that's going to get you out of it is probably the very thing that brought you into it. Praying in tongues, meditating the word. It's what will take you through to the other side. You've got to keep doing that. Don't look for any side exits. Don't look for any help from the right arm of the flesh. Your mind will give you those kind of ideas. They'll give you all kinds of things to solve your problem, you think. But so many times I've noticed in my own life that it's only produced more problems. The end result was that it took me farther away from the path of God, more into a direction I didn't want to go in. And as I prayed in tongues, it brought me back around again, but it took me in a direction I didn't really need to go in. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. So, don't go there. Keep praying. Keep doing what you know will change you. So that verse 13, God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, that the end result would be that you're doing what he wants you to do. His good pleasure. That's what you want. Where his desire becomes your desire. Amen. That is enough for tonight, I can tell. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and why don't you stand up and we'll just pray and dismiss you. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us a way that we can turn ourselves totally over to you as a bond slave, that we can walk out of a place of selfishness where we're trying to live our own life by our own mental faculties, to a place where we are doing and saying and living the life that you want us to live. And Father, I ask you to help those who are in the middle of a storm right now, that their mind is in all kind of turmoil. In Jesus' name, I pray that there'll be quiet in the midst of that storm, that there'll be peace. And I just speak silence to the forces of darkness that are trying to cause the disturbance in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Father, for the encouragement, encourage the people's heart and the grace to continue to do what will cause the change, the permanent change, that they can walk out forever from that place. In Jesus' name, amen.